Hey everybody, it's Adam, live and in person for you. Hey everybody, it's Adam, wonder who he'll interview.
Before we get started today, I want to let my listeners know that going forward, I will use this platform to not only entertain you, but to help bring about change. I have been looking inwards at myself and decided that I will be more active in the Black Lives Matter global network. I must do my part to end systematic racism. I know that through continued self-education and listening, I can help bring equality, justice, and healing to the Black community. Listed in the text of this interview are various organizations you can donate to that support Black lives everywhere. Hey everyone, it's Call Me Adam, and on today's episode of Burying It All with Call Me Adam, I am chatting with actor David Joseph Berg. David is best known for his roles in the off-Broadway hit musical Altar Boys, Broadway's The Prom, Honeymoon in Vegas, The Wedding Singer, and most recently, he took over the role of Adam Maitland in Broadway's Beetlejuice. Don't go anywhere, we'll be right back with David Joseph Berg. Hi, David.
Oh, hello there.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, as well as we can be.
Yes. It's been a few years since we've gotten to talk, so I'm glad that we're getting to catch up here.
Same here.
And I'm glad that we get to do this on my podcast as opposed to over email. So it's much better to talk to you.
Agreed.
Well, I'm glad. So let's start, because of the times we're living in, I would love to sort of start with the world today. I mean, we're recording this interview in the midst of a global pandemic, social injustice, and you are a father. So I was wondering how have you like talked to your kids about what's going on? What kind of questions do they ask you?
That's good. That's good because last night we actually got into some things, so that's fantastic. First, I should tell you that I live here in South Orange, New Jersey, which is very diverse, and there's a ton of conversation about all this in the schools and about when there were schools. That's the other little thing that's going on these days is just that tiny little pandemic.
Yes,
but you know, so they have a lot of friends who they have these conversations with. And, you know, I have a 15 and a 12-year-old boy, so they don't like to have too many conversations with their dad.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they're at that age.
Yes. But we have actually gotten into, I started actually doing something called Do the Work. It's a course that's online. And I've been talking to them about some things. Last night we watched 13th. Yes, 13th. That's what it's called? Yes,
13th. Yes.
And both of my sons were there. The young one, he didn't really stay for most of it, but my older one did. And we got to really see some things as to why there is such anger and why it's so unfair to people of color. And we had it was actually a fantastic conversation. It even showed that it wasn't just, it was about the, you know, I'm sure, I don't know if you guys know this, but it was about the, you know, it's about the criminal justice system and how, I mean, I don't want to get too deep into that right now, but it's how it's just so stacked so unfairly for things. And I think he really got to see that slavery went into the prison system, goes into where we are now. And I think he actually felt something, a 15-year-old boy.
That's incredible.
Who should, but mine enjoys Fortnite most of the time.
Yes. Well, the teenage years are very difficult years in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
But I think it's great that you're able to have these conversations and you are having these conversations with your kids. And as you mentioned earlier, that they're having these conversations with their friends.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've certainly had some conversations with my boyfriend and my family as well. And
there are plenty of other people who I could have this conversation with, even family members who make comments on Instagram posts and things of that nature. I mean, it's difficult though. What you have to try to have a conversation with them, but it's very difficult for them to learn something other than they want to learn.
Yes, yes.
But we have to.
Yes, yes. No, we have to have the conversations. And you never know, because maybe after you have the conversation, maybe they will go back and take some time to think about what was discussed, and hopefully they'll be more open to you know, justice and what's right.
You know what, to be honest, I'm usually the positive person in the conversation, but you have just upped the positivity, and I totally, that is true. You are 100% right. I'm sorry that I didn't start with that.
No, that's okay. At least you're having the conversations. So yes. That's the first step.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's talk about your life in theater and Broadway and everything else in between with it. So let's first talk about Beetlejuice, which you took over the role of Adam Maitland, and you took over the role, and then you were basically a few months later, the pandemic happened. Then unfortunately, Beetlejuice also closed early because of, because the theaters weren't scheduled at the time, weren't scheduled to reopen until June 7th, and Beetlejuice was scheduled to close June 6th. But there is talk and hope that when theaters reopen, Beetlejuice will have a new home. So my first question is, what is it like to take over a role like you did with Adam and then have these other things happen? I mean, it's probably, based upon what I know of your career, you have not had that kind of, you've not had that happen before where you've taken over a role and then the show has closed later.
No, that is true. This is the first pandemic that I've been involved in. Well, first you're going to hear me, if we talk about other shows, you're going to hear like, oh my God, this was one of my favorite shows, because there are a lot of them, but this one truly was just a supremely joyful experience. Taking over the role from Mr. Rob McClure, who is an angel.
Yes.
Like, just a fantastic guy, helpful. I know him from Honeymoon in Vegas. We did a show together. And I just love the guy. And he's so kind, so open to helping, to letting me find my own way with Adam Maitland. He left me his couch, his carpet, and some bourbon. I mean,
oh, nice.
What kind of guy is that? So, you know, and I've done a lot of, I've created my own roles, but I've also filled in a lot. I did Waitress following Chris Fitzgerald, which is, I mean, who wants to follow that guy in Waitress? But again, he was supremely kind and like wonderful and let me do me as well. But so Beetlejuice from the top down, everyone was kind and happy and fun and supremely talented. And it's so funny. So I was in prom and everyone talked about Beetlejuice and I was like, what is Beetlejuice? Who wants? And then getting there and seeing it, and it's just such a fantastic show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was making great money and so excited to be in this, and we were going to film a movie of it. And so then we hit the pandemic and, mm-hmm. and then we closed, and that was, you know, it's still a job and there are people out there who are suffering from the disease.
Yes.
So it's, I'm not going to say it's a horrific thing, and I am supremely hopeful. And there are lots of little things that I hear about that one day when Broadway does come back, there is a theater for us. And mm-hmm. hopefully I'll be in that show and be able to do that.
That would be fantastic.
Oh yes. I mean, I love those characters, those sweet, fun characters.
Yes. And Adam has a lot of, I got to see Rob in the role. I unfortunately did not get to see you play the role, but there's a lot of comedic moments for Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing you from other shows I've seen you in, I mean, you have that comedic chops to bring him to life.
How very kind.
Oh, you're welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
And the set, I mean, the set was incredible.
Oh, God.
It's probably one of the best constructed sets I've seen on Broadway.
And you're going to tell me how they didn't win?
Exactly.
I don't understand that. It really is just a fun, amazing space to play on.
Yes.
And that's not even to mention, okay, so we can talk about Altar Boys later, and there were some amazing fans, but this is pretty unbelievable, the Beetlejuice fan base.
Yes, they are so dedicated.
I mean, I'm almost 50 years old and I have a lot of fans on TikTok, okay?
It's amazing. And it really does show you, though, the power of the fans and the power of social media. And I mean, when they announced that Beetlejuice was closing, I mean, the fans really took to social media to keep the show going. Through, I mean, from downloading and streaming the cast recording to all the TikTok videos to everything that they did. I mean, it really shows you the power of word of mouth and what social media can do for a show.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. Like, seriously, unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, you didn't have that as much, you know, social media for the Altar Boys. I believe that maybe back then we would have had that sort of crazy fandom as well.
Oh, 100%. 100% you would have had that because, I mean, I know I saw Altar Boys at least 4 to 5, 6 times. And I mean, it really felt like you were at a boy band concert. I mean, it was so much fun. Every time I went, it was just as much fun as the first time.
I agree. And I felt the same way doing the show as a 35-year-old man with a 1-day-old son.
Hey, yes, because your wife was gave birth while you were in Altar Boy.
Totally. Uh-huh.
Yes. How did you... I mean, how did you balance that with your wife pregnant? Then she has the baby, and you're in this hit show. How did you balance your time?
Before we get to that answer, let's take a quick break and get a word in from one of our sponsors. We'll be back in a minute. Oh wait, you don't know? You haven't heard? You must not be subscribed to the Call Me Adam Digest. When you sign up for the Call Me Adam Digest, you are the first to know. You get a front row seat to my interviews and podcast episodes where you get to discover new things about your favorite celebrities. You get personal stories from the other side of the microphone that you wouldn't know by just reading, watching, or listening to my interviews. We get to have a weekly connection, and you can add some fun to your weekend. So come take a peek behind the curtain with the Call Me Adam Digest. Sign up today at callmeadam.com. Can't wait to see you there. Welcome back to Burying It All with Call Me Adam. So as you were saying...
Looking back now, I literally have no idea. I was talking with Kevin Kern today, who had a daughter this like very close to the same time as I had a son, but he also had 2 other kids. He had 3 kids under the age of 4. And he was a swing covering all 5 of the boys. So I literally don't know, because now it's so easy now because the kids, they go to bed after me. So I don't have to wait up with them sometimes, the 12-year-old sometimes. But I'm sure I wasn't getting sleep. I guess I was, and we were doing so many events. I really don't. And recently had to sing one of the songs too, just the last song, and thought, how did I sing all the other songs and dance before I sang this song? I can't even sing this one song now. It's insane.
I know coming up, you are going to be doing an Altar Boys reunion on the producer's perspective with Ken Davenport. Mm-hmm. Now I saw the Altar Boys reunion at 54 Below, I believe it was 5 years ago, 2015, was the 10-year anniversary.
Yes, believe. Wow, that's crazy, right?
Yes, it is. And so now this would be the 15-year anniversary. What are you looking forward to about seeing everybody again, even though it will be virtual?
Well, many things. First of all, even just right now, our text thread, just being back in touch with those guys. I mean, that time in my life, first of all, Altar Boys 10 years ago, we also did it about 3 years beforehand, where we would be paid in Starbucks gift cards to just get together and practice and learn and create these characters. Mm-hmm. And as I said before about Beetlejuice, truly Altar Boys has got to be like top two of my favorite experiences on the stage of all time. I'm looking forward to, I mean, I wish if we happen to sing a song and it's not necessarily together, that'll be great to hear it, but it's still, you know, it's, I don't get to hold their hands and sing the song the way we did, but yeah. The feelings are all still there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, getting back to just being the guys.
Yes. Yes. I mean, it must be so nice to have a group of friends from a show. I mean, all these years later that you still keep in touch, and you know, when you get together, it's as if no time has passed.
Literally goes right back to, we sing the songs that we made up during the tech rehearsal that I can't possibly say on this podcast, but it's like yesterday.
Yes. I love that. And that's the true definition of friendship.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. Well, I'm very much looking forward to the reunion. I'm definitely going to tune in. So now I do want to move away from theater, and I want to talk about your hobbies, because I want to know what you like to do outside of performing.
You got it. So there's always poker. Mm-hmm. And I get together with my different shows, Les Mis guys. We play every Sunday night. Sometimes I play with my wedding singer guys on Thursdays, which is tonight. There was possibly going to be one. We'll see what happens. but the main crux of poker and bourbon is my one side, which I do often. Poker, bourbon, and cooking.
I love
it. And on my other side, which is really taking a big focus now, is I do a lot of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of running, working out, something called breath work, which mm-hmm. I can tell you later. I'll tell you later. I love learning and reading things that have to do with quantum physics.
Mm.
During the pandemic, becoming a health coach. I'm a personal trainer, and I'm on my way to becoming a breath work teacher.
Oh, wow.
So those are, of course, play with the children, walk the dogs, and all sports.
That's amazing. How did you get into the breath work and so much so that you wanted to become a teacher for it?
So I guess two years ago, I've been a personal trainer for 4 or 5 years. I haven't done a lot with it, but I've trained some people. My wife is really big in the business. She's written a book called Target 100. It's a whole diet program. She used to work for Weight Watchers, and she helped Jennifer Hudson and Jessica Simpson and Charles Barkley and people like that. So it's all around me.
Oh, wow.
So about 2 or 3 years ago, I really started getting into meditation and, you know, changing, this is going to be a little out there, frequencies, and knowing that you can live the life that you want to by being that person that wants that life.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done a lot through that meditation. And then recently, I became a health coach, which is, I took a course online. It was very long. I did a lot while I was swinging the prom.
Uh-huh.
And it's mostly health coaching. There's a little life coaching. And I really, really love helping people find their own joy and living their life through joy and their own authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but the health coach is more like life coaching as opposed to health and nutrition.
I mean, it starts with health and nutrition,
uh-huh.
but for me, I don't love that part as much as finding out why people are doing the things that they're doing.
Mm.
Like, you know, to eat an apple and not eat a pizza, but so why is the reason that the habits have formed and how to, you know, work around those?
Mm.
Sorry. I may have just eaten a parsnip.
That's okay.
Mm. And then, so this breath work, someone told me about, I think 3 months ago, and this guy has been doing it online because you can't take his course in person. And it's a way of you, so you breathe in through the mouth, in your belly, in your chest, and out. And you keep doing that while he plays songs.
Mm.
And you go on this journey that is unlike any drug or anything can possibly teach you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has you bring things into your heart and all these different, so it's a little out there and woo woo, but it's life changing.
Mm.
And it's, you know, he does a lot of affirmations and some reading. And I thought, first of all, I'm going to call it oh my gosh, should I put this out here now? It's not out there yet.
Well, I mean, yes, you should. I want the exclusive.
I mean, I bought the what's it called? The website name. It's going to be called Broadway Breathwork.
I love it.
And it's really interesting because you play music, so there's a lot of arts to it. I was thinking maybe each time I do a class when I'm a teacher, I'll sing a new song with it. And I think it's great for any, besides just for anybody, pre-audition, I think it's going to be, it's unbelievable. It just puts you into a space of knowing what you want, how you want to get there, and your truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I want people to be able to, I won't be able to do this. It brings so much joy.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
What did you learn about yourself? I mean, what truths did you discover about yourself from doing this work and in teaching people?
Okay. So I'm generally a happy, joyful person, mm-hmm. but when you do this, so you meditate on something before you do it what's the word I'm looking for? You focus on something and then mm-hmm. you do the breath work. And if it's, I want to change this or help me figure out like, what do I truly want? Like, you know, I never want to give up musical theater fully,
mm-hmm.
but so doing this, I was like, I want to change so that I can do this. And like, you can do this plus more. Mm-hmm. I want to help people. I want to teach this stuff so that I can bring joy to other people and maybe not necessarily be beholden to a schedule of just working nights in musical theater when I have a job.
Mm-hmm.
I learned to have more gratitude at all times, mm-hmm. to find the light in everything. Mm-hmm. Not learned, but you know, when you do the breath work, you can't not feel that. It turns off the part of your brain that is worried and judging and not knowing, not, you know, afraid of things. And it lets you truly be who you want to be.
Mm.
So I guess I learned that.
That's good. That's wonderful. With the breath work and do you think you'll be combining, will the coaching be separate? Will you do have like breath work coaching and like physical fitness coaching, or is it sort of going to be combined depending on what the person wants to focus on?
I think I need you to tell me that. No, I think it could be. I'm thinking of maybe starting like a breathwork course, and then, you know, the other course that I do is the health coaching. That's like a 10 to 12 week course. Mm-hmm. And I think I would tailor it to what a person needs and what they want. Like, you can, if you're having career questions, so maybe 1 week we do a meditation, maybe 1 week we do, you know, affirmations the whole week. Maybe one mm-hmm. week we'll do breath work. Maybe we'll talk about food. Maybe we'll talk about chewing, because, mm-hmm. you know, health and those kind of things also play into how you feel about yourself. So what, you know, yes. any of those things, I guess I would do. Music therapy. I don't know.
The sky's the limit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go back to Beetlejuice if I can, but you know, yeah. I'd like to do both. I already do it backstage anyway with mm-hmm. everybody, helping everybody. I may as well, you know, have a second job.
Exactly. You might as well make money at it. Now, yeah. Do you think you'll ever, do you and your wife want to do some dual coaching together?
Absolutely. So here's some other things. Is she, every like year or so, we go to and do retreats. She does a retreat with all of her people.
Uh-huh.
And I am the guy who ends up watching the kids and doing Broadway singing at night with everybody, because for some reason, every one of her clients loves Broadway.
I love
it. I mean, who doesn't love Broadway?
Right, exactly. Who doesn't?
Well, some people.
If you're listening to this podcast, you love Broadway.
Yeah, right. There's no, we're the target audience right here.
Exactly.
So we sing and I play piano a little bit. That's my other hobby, but I'm not very good yet. I'm needing to get better. And singing with
my I've seen you on, I've watched a few of your cameo videos, and you do a very good job.
Thank you. I'm learning. I really want to get much better at that. So that can be my job. So we go to Italy and we do these retreats, and I want to be a guy who then can lead a breath work for a day. Actually, and in our late life, I think that's something we'd love to do is have a place where, you know, people come and they meditate, and we teach courses and we sing and we have pets there and we're by the ocean. I guess that's my retirement job.
That sounds nice.
Damn, I know, right? How can I get there now?
you know, meditate on it and you'll find your way.
I'm just going to breathe. Hold on. Can you give me 10, 15 minutes? Just kidding.
I love it. I love it. I've taken some breath classes here and there. I remember in college we had a whole weekend of meditation and breath work and mindful chewing. And
what college did you go to?
I went to Curry College in Milton, Massachusetts. And
sounds fancy.
It was a small liberal arts college. It was, I don't know if it was fancy, but this one professor who taught science, she really got into yoga and all this health and breath work. And so she offered a class for it, and I took it. And one of the requirements was this weekend retreat at school, and really like a mindful weekend. And I mean, I can't say that I do every single thing she taught us. I don't do it every single day, but I do certainly here and there try to remind myself of the mindful chewing and to take a breath or to slow down. Yeah. I mean, this pandemic has definitely taught me about slowing down and scaling back. So
yeah, I love that. I love that. I wish I would have had a course like that and being aware of those things.
So I think what we'll do is we'll take a very quick break. And when we come back, we are going to play a game. And I can't wait. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with David.
I'm excited. Hey, everyone. My name is David Josephsberg, and you're listening to Bearing It All with Call Me App.
Well, now we're back. And we're going to play a game called I Believe, which is in the title of the game is inspired by the song In Altar Boys. But for this game, I want to pretend that Abraham, who you played in Altar Boys.
Abraham. And,
yes. And he's Jewish.
Yes. Nice work.
Thank you. And Adam from Beetlejuice, they go out on a date.
Exciting.
Wait, yes.
Do you play I Believe with everyone, or is this just for me?
This is just for you.
This is just for me.
Yes. I have catered this game specifically for you.
Fantastic.
Yes. I try to cater all my games to each of my guests.
I like it.
Thank you. So they're going to be out on a date, and you're going to tell me what you feel each of them would have in these scenarios.
Okie dokie.
Okay. So if they had a pre-meal drink, what do you think each of them would order?
Wait a minute. Is Abraham still a young? Is he young?
Abraham. Yes. Like, Adam would be the age that he is, and Abraham.
Okay. Then Abraham would love to be having a red wine, like a Manischewitz, but he's going to have grape juice.
Okay.
I mean, right? He can't have a cocktail.
No, exactly.
Well, me, I would have a bourbon. Abe would have grape juice. And Adam?
Yeah.
What would he have? He would have a... He and Barbara would probably have white wine spritzers.
I love it.
That he made very carefully.
Yes. He's someone that could talk about quantum physics.
Oh, I'm sure. Yes.
Yeah. Appetizer?
Oh, for apps. Adam would have probably a ghost pepper wings. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Is this thing on? It's because he's a ghost, everybody.
Yes.
Okay. And Abe? Oh, he would have... Are we going to just go straight down the list? He's going to have matzo ball soup. only from... he's actually not from New York, but he came to New York. So he went over to... it's closed now.
Katz's Deli?
Oh, no. The Edison Hotel.
Oh, the Edison Hotel, yes.
I don't know where he's going to get his matzo ball soup now.
At Friedman's that took over the Edison Hotel.
You know what? You're right. I've had the matzo ball soup there. It's okay.
Yeah, or Ben's.
Probably. I don't know it, though.
Yeah. It's a kosher deli.
I know Ben's, but it's like a little low. It's like 30. It's like lower than I know.
Yeah, 38th. Yes, right. It's out of the theater district.
You think I don't know a Jewish restaurant in New York City?
I would be shocked, but hey, you know, I don't want to, you know, assume anything.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Yeah. Main course.
All right. I'm going to keep with themes here. Okay.
Yes.
We're going to keep the theme for the whole thing.
I love it.
I'm assuming that when I say Adam, I keep picturing Rob and not me.
Interesting.
I better change that up. Everybody on here should. I'm just kidding, Rob. But he's Mrs. Doubtfire now.
He is, yeah.
Oh, dear.
You could totally follow. You could totally take over for him.
I mean, I'm not going to say it, that maybe I was supposed to go to Seattle and do that before I got his part, but maybe I was.
Oh, that would have been so exciting.
But it would be so scary to try and do that as an understudy, dear, wouldn't it? My main course for Adam, David Joseph Spurg's Adam, would be angel hair pasta.
Mmm, I like that.
And of course, Abraham is going to have a delicious, delicious Reuben.
Yes. and dessert?
Well, for dessert, of course, let's go back to Abe. He loves, well, if he's not going to Schmackery's, then he's going to have some macaroons.
Yes.
And Adam. And also Michael from An Act of God would have angel food cake.
Oh, I like bringing this third person in.
I like that.
Yeah. Now I know, continuing with the dessert theme, what would their favorite ice cream flavors be?
Well, okay. So I think I have a couple for Adam.
Okay.
First of all, he would certainly enjoy just a plain bowl of vanilla ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what he would certainly, that is definitely what he would have. But when he's feeling frisky, he has Cherry Garcia.
Mm.
The Grateful Dead, get it?
Yes, no, I got it.
I am dumb. And then Abe, because he does have also a little crazy side, and also, I myself love maple bacon ice cream.
Oh, interesting.
Not supposed to have bacon, but still.
Yes. But you can.
Yeah, you can.
There are non-kosher Jews out there who eat bacon.
That's true.
That's why they're not kosher.
That's me. Oh, I eat tons of bacon.
Yeah.
Bacon wrapped scallops. I mean, I didn't get into peanut butter, which is my favorite thing.
Oh, we're getting to that.
Okay, but I love also the chocolate versus peanut butter at Hershey's ice cream.
Mm.
Oh, God. That's so good. Sometimes I just take my, like if there is ice cream in the house, I just throw regular old peanut butter on it.
Oh, I love it. That is actually the whole game. We're going to end it with the ice cream.
All right. I love that.
Yeah.
Did I win?
I mean, you won a lifetime supply of peanut butter.
Yes. That I purchased myself. Fantastic.
Exactly.
When I go to Costco, I have so much peanut butter, I could gain 45 pounds by next weekend.
And then you can work it off as you teach yourself your classes.
True. Come on, chubby. Wait, no, that is incorrect.
No, that's not nice.
That is not nice. That's not how we do.
No, that's not how we do it. No. Let's take another quick break. And when we come back, we'll do some rapid fire questions and then my famous question.
Oh, what's your famous question? Well, yes.
Find out after this commercial break.
I can't wait.
Oh, wait. You don't know? You haven't heard? You must not be subscribed to the Call Me Adam Digest. When you sign up for the Call Me Adam Digest, you are the first to know. You get a front row seat to my interviews and podcast episodes where you get to discover new things about your favorite celebrities. You get personal stories from the other side of the microphone that you wouldn't know by just reading, watching, or listening to my interviews. We get to have a weekly connection, and you can add some fun to your weekend. So come take a peek behind the curtain with the Call Me Adam Digest. Sign up today at callmeadam.com. Can't wait to see you there.
And we're back.
Thank God.
Yes. Welcome back. So as I sort of mentioned before, during the game, we are going to get to talking about peanut butter a little bit more. So I'm going to ask you these rapid fire questions and you're going to give me your answers.
Okay.
I'm ready. Okay. The first question is peanut butter, crunchy or smooth?
Yes.
To both?
All peanut butter all day. No, I go smooth, but I would not kick crunchy out of bed.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Interesting. And favorite brand peanut butter or
Well, I mean, I have kids, so we have Jif usually. I think. Wait, mm-hmm. hold on. I'm so close to my. What is this? Hold on. I gotta pull. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Oh, I lied. Totally lied to you. I totally lied. And number one, number two. This is. I just made this not rapid fire. So, but it's Skippy.
Oh, okay. All right.
So sorry about that.
That's okay. I was a Jif guy. I still am.
When I was a kid, I was Jif. My mom bought Jif, but now we're Skippy because that's what Costco has, and we need tubs of peanut butter.
Yes. Yes. No, as a kid, I loved everything. Peanut butter, everything. favorite flavor, M&M?
Peanut. Or color, do you mean?
No, I mean flavor.
Yeah.
So peanut yeah.
Peanut M&M, yes. Yeah. Well, gosh. I also like... caramel and just regular old. Shoot. Let's say peanut butter, though, because we're going with it. Peanut M&M. Peanut butter. Peanut M&M.
Okay. And what is your favorite color since you brought it up?
Ooh. It changes often because, well, I can't get into that either. That's the same sort of like meditation stuff. But I'm going to go with orange.
Okay.
Fire. Orange.
I always liked green, although when blue came out, blue became my favorite.
Green is good. Oh, you mean M&M, favorite color M&M?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about something else. I love green too. Blue is sort of, it annoys me. I like the red ones though.
Oh yeah, uh-huh, yeah. Red's
green
and
red, color. Christmas M&Ms. I think I'm in favorite color in general.
Yes, well, my favorite color in general is blue, so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Go-to emoji when texting.
Go to emoji. I guess as a dad, I use thumbs, heart, uh-huh. eggplant. Fire and fire. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, I do, but you know what? Let's just go with those three. Thumbs, heart, fire.
Great. And how do you take your coffee?
I gave up coffee and now have tea.
Oh, wow.
8 tea bags a day, though. But I used to literally, even up until about last year, have between shows like a quadruple espresso.
Oh my God.
But I went black first. So before that I would do, let's say black, I would do coffee. Iced. Now I actually occasionally have black iced coffee.
Okay.
Now it's tea, mostly tea.
And what kind of tea do you like? What brand?
Oh, you know what's, I love, I found this recently, which is amazing, is that. Earl Grey of most any kind, but I like Twinings, Tazo, anything Earl Grey that's got like a nice flavor.
I just became a huge fan of Twinings, honey and chamomile.
Oh, that sounds nice.
It's delicious. And it has a little bit vanilla in it. It
does
is
it have caffeine?
So yeah, that's caffeine free.
Oh, no, sir. No. Yeah.
No, you would hate my. I'm a decaf tea guy. I'm a decaf coffee guy. I mean, we would never go out for coffee together.
How do you? Are you just energy? See, breath work can make you energetic, but I haven't learned how to do that without tea yet.
I just. I mean, I grew up on decaf coffee. My mom always made decaf growing up, so I just never got addicted to the caffeine. I never needed it. Most mornings, I just have water to really wake myself up.
You're better than everyone. How do you tell me how you do this? Do you sleep well?
No.
Are you a drinker?
Not that often, no. I would say
that helps.
A few times a month.
That helps.
Yeah. And I only really drink Moscato. I love Moscato wine.
Okay.
Especially Bartonua.
Delicious. That sounds delicious.
This interview is not about me. It's
okay.
About you. Okay. All right. The last rapid fire question is your favorite scent or smell?
I'm going to say lavender.
Oh, that's nice.
Or pizza or the ocean. Lavender, though.
Those are great. I like that pizza. They should come out. They should make a pizza candle.
Yeah. I bet they have a pizza candle.
I'm sure somebody does.
But that would make people hungry and then they eat.
Yes, that is true. That is true.
Lavender is good for relaxation. That helps me after I have the 12 teas during my day.
It's a nice balance.
Yeah. You know what? Which is what I'm looking for. As I said, you know, poker, bourbon and that, and then meditation, breath work, and running.
I love it. How many miles a day do you run?
Depending. I do like probably 4 times a week of running and lifting other days. So probably my normal run is about a 4-mile run.
Wow. And you run outdoors, or you have it, or you do the treadmill?
Both. We have a treadmill, but I like outdoor running. It depends. I mean, sometimes I like indoor is easier for me to do podcasts because I need, and actually it's not easier because, well, sort of, because I like to stop and write things. And recently I had 75 podcasts in my notes and didn't put them up and lost them all.
Oh,
but I went back in time and got almost all of them back.
Oh, I mean, amazing.
Not my, you know, not myself.
I know. The time machine backup.
Yes, but that was so sad. I was so scared and so sad.
Yeah.
So that's just a message for everybody. Always back up the things that you really care about.
Yes. Save your work, and often. Well, we're at the end of the interview already.
That's fantastic. It felt like no time at all.
I know. I mean, you're so much fun to talk to. I could talk to you for hours.
Well, let's go. What else do you want to talk about?
No, we're going to do my, now we're getting to my famous question.
All right.
So I always end my interviews by asking, by playing off of the title of my podcast, Bearing It All with Call Me Adam. Mm-hmm. So if you could bear it all and reveal something about yourself that you have not told previously, what would you share with me today? I mean, we could go in a completely different direction. I mean, do you have like an unusual talent? Is there an unusual place you've had sex? I mean,
oh,
it could
you
be
want to get serious with,
I mean,
God,
I'm willing to go anywhere here.
I mean, sex. Yes. So, I mean, I was on the Les Mis tour for God's sake that people almost got fired for. So I had crazy sex everywhere. No. I once got, this is crazy. I once got caught by my principal with my girlfriend in the nurse's office in high school. And I got caught doing some naughty things there.
Mm,
at a party. There was a party, and my girlfriend was the president of the student council. So she had a key to the nurse's office, and somehow the principal came in.
Oh my God. That is exactly what I'm looking for.
And her mother worked at the school as well.
Oh.
And we were like the good theater kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that.
All right. I didn't realize we can go there. I got tons of stories for you now.
Oh yeah. That's amazing. That was a good one.
Oh, I met my wife. She was in Les Mis, and she hooked me up with like three or four girls in the show. And then eventually we became friends, and she was a Cosette understudy. I was a Marius understudy. And she said, we went on together once, and when I bumped her, she felt, this is the man I'm going to marry. And I didn't realize that, but we ended up getting married.
Wow. I like that too.
Yeah. She was a Cosette understudy, and she decided that she wanted to have a job where when she works hard, she gets paid for it. So she left the business. Good for me. I can keep doing my hobby.
Exactly. I'm going to use a few of these.
Great.
Yeah, I love it. Great. I love it. Well, that's the whole interview. I do like you sing in I Believe. I do believe that I came to know you for a reason, and I'm thrilled that we got to do this interview and that you, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, I'm thrilled you're having conversations with your kids about everything that's happening in the world today. I think it's very important. And everybody listening, continue to have those conversations. Also, tune in to the Altar Boys reunion on the producer's perspective. I will have the date in the text of the podcast episode. And thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me. Can I just say one last thing too?
You can.
Everybody keep listening, do the work. Black Lives Matter, and I truly am excited for real change.
As am I. We are all trying to help create change, so keep listening.
He'll get the dirt and the scoop and the story, for he happens to be in the know. Just ask anybody who's had him. Adam lives for the business of show. CallMeAdam.com.
Find more episodes of Bearing It All with Call Me Adam everywhere podcasts are streamed, including iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Follow me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, at Call Me Adam NYC. For my print and video interviews, visit my website, callmeadam.com.